It is the 23rd day of April, 2014. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us today to take a look at what happened in the marketplace is Jackie Vank. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County, though she's traveling this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, I do believe you're traveling or have been. Where have you been and what have you seen in the way of tractors that have been moving?
I knew you were going to ask me that. In fact, we were out to Des Moines. And on the way out, we really saw very little activity. A few fields planted along I-80 coming back. Now we're about halfway back. We're at Coralville. And I've been trying like crazy to take pictures of the planters, but these doggone hills out here and the semis in between, I haven't been able to get it done. But there's a lot of activity. It's pretty amazing how many fields have been planted since we drove out on Sunday afternoon.
No, we won't say too much about you being here at the home of the University of Iowa, Iowa City, Coralville area, but that's where you are, just so everybody has an idea. That's 80 miles due to the west of Moline and the Quad City areas in Chicago, right there on Interstate 80. What'd you find out while you were in Iowa from farmers and others that you visited with?
Well, you know, everybody's frustrated. They all want to get moving, but, you know, it doesn't seem like anybody's terribly concerned about the lateness of planting like we see people who are not necessarily farmers. So very interesting. I did attend a meeting out here, and I thought that there was some really good stuff. You know, if you remember back, Todd, to when we had the Commodity Week and John Bondurant and a number of other people were on with us.
Sure.
You know, we were talking about that feed residual number, and that number came up again yesterday. So I did some more digging, and then I called Jerry Norton from the World Board. And when he called back, I found out some kind of interesting things about it. You know, we on our side of the industry tend to look at feed residual and mostly focus on the feed side of things. And one thing that he really cleared up for me was he said, if you look back over history, and I did, when you have a very large crop like we had last year, you have a high residual number or a high feed residual number. And when you have a smaller crop, like in 2012, you have a much smaller feed residual number. And all of a sudden it starts to click as to how it works. You know, when we first bring the crop in, there's a lot of corn you really can't account for. You know, you don't know how many new bins have been built. You don't know how many people are storing it on the ground. And bigger yet is you don't know how much out-of-condition corn might be out there from prior years. So what the feed residual number, I've always described it as a miscellaneous category, you know, like in accounting. And it actually is. It equals what food use, the food use number is, what the export number is, minus whatever your crop production is. And that's your residual. In other words, it is your balancing act all the time. Now, one of the things you can have happen is by the time you get to the fourth quarter, of course, it's always much, much, much lower. And that's basically because that September quarterly grain stocks really gives us a good picture as to what's going on. But your out-of-condition corn actually can carry from one year to the next and still sit there on feed residual until it's used up or it's destroyed. And that's why we have such wide variations at times, you know, and especially in years where we've had odd ones. Like this year, you know, we're heading into a year where we do have out-of-condition corn, something that a lot of guys were talking about out here. You know, harvested kind of wet, put away kind of wet, expecting to be able to take it in during the winter, haven't been able to do it, you know, that type of thing. And so I think that it's just a better picture of what that feed residual category really is. And then it's like anything else when you come to the reports, until you really get a good handle, which we don't have until the end of the crop year, you don't really know what's out there. But you can, if you look at the report, at a breakdown on the report, you can actually see it gradually getting smaller as you get toward the fourth quarter and we have more information.
Let's stick with stats and statistics for a moment. Change from Washington, D.C., though, rather, to Chicago and the CME Group, because they announced this week that beginning May 1st, actually April 30th, because that's when the trading session for May 1 starts, they will be changing the limit moves, and their plan is to do that semi-annually, so they'll change May 1 and November 1 going forward.
That's exactly the truth, and I know there are some people who are very much up in arms about it. I was very much in favor of it, and I'll tell you why. If you look at $5 corn, 35 cents is about a 7% of the value of a bushel. You look at $14 beans, $0.70 was only 5%. A dollar is very close to 7% of the value. Same thing when you look at Chicago wheat and KC wheat. Chicago is going down to 35 cents. KC is going to 45 cents from 60. The only one that went up was beans, which went from 70 to a dollar. And, you know, when you look at that, that's kind of a reversal of fortune for beans in some respects, because your fund people are always looking at allocation dollars. And when you have a larger limit number, your allocation dollars, of course, get used up faster. And so you can take more positions. And I think some of what we saw yesterday after the announcement came out was just funds rebalancing, because they have been actively buying in the corn. Wheat's been following the corn along because, you know, we got the wheat tour next week. And beans went down. So, you know, until they feel stable about where they're at or get to the right allocation levels, we'll probably see more of that kind of activity.
Is there some reason they target 7%, or is it just a number picked?
I think it's just a number picked. It used to be about 5%, prior to the volatility that we had years ago, you know, and so I think they've just picked the number and took the 5% and said, well, that's probably too low for this. And there's no real true formula for how they determine it. A lot of it is based on volatility, whether you're coming into a report, all of those things, because nobody can give you a good formula for margins, and margins are what drive limits, okay? And so, you know, I think 7%, they probably looked at a lot of historical information and said 7% is pretty good.
You mentioned the reversal of fortune in soybeans, so we did have the nearbys. Old crop, May and July, both lower today, but new crop, November on out, were higher.
Yeah, they definitely were, and, you know, I think when you look at that, I'm not too surprised by that in some respects. I think some of that is because you have people who are feeling that we could be 30% planted on corn by Monday, you know, which would indicate that we wouldn't really probably need to add a lot more bean acres. And so therefore, you know, that supports beans. It's kind of surprising, on old crop especially. Old crop was taking it not only because of the funds, but because of China cancellations and potential for importing beans. And we actually have Argentinian meal coming into the U.S. now. So none of that really impacts old crop. So, you know, if you still want to do, you know, spreads and those types of things, you may buy old crop beans and spread it against wheat, do those type, you know, that type of thing. So I don't think our producers should get all excited thinking that we're going to go wild on new crop versus anything else. You know, it's an opportunity is what it is.
You look ahead. What are your expectations for the export market for the coming week yet?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think, you know, you have to look at the big key to the export market for the coming week is going to be what are the cancellations, and that's China and unknown, of course. You know, and last week we saw cancellations by both of them. The interesting part is so many times you only hear them talk about China. But we know very well that China and unknown are tied together. So, when we come out tomorrow, we're definitely going to be looking how much did they cancel and what happened.
Corn futures were higher today. Did that surprise you much, given the number of planters you hear that are rolling east of the Mississippi River?
Well, I think that I could say it surprised me, but it doesn't surprise me much when I see the funds reallocating. Let's wait for a few days and see when things settle down. And then really, you know, find out what's going on, because I don't think that we necessarily need to be going higher at this stage of the game. The Ukrainian thing seems to be settling down. I did find out some interesting things, Todd, about PEDV while I was out there. It's kind of interesting from the standpoint that it maybe explains why that quarterly hog and pig report showed more hogs than we expected. I found out that there's just a tremendous amount of misinterpretation going on those maps that we see that show numbers on the map. You like, I think Iowa was 1726.
Mm-hmm.
1726 is not 1726 cases of PEDV. That some farms test as much as four times, and what they mean by that is your first time you have it, it's a positive test, and that is a real outbreak. But once you're over it, then you go back in and you disinfect everything, and they found out through the process of elimination that they actually had to go in and burn out the insides of the crates and everything to be able to get rid of this. So if you didn't do that the first time, then you test it to make sure you don't have anything. That comes back positive. That's not a new case.
Hmm.
And then that can happen again. So very misleading, I guess, in some respects, or just not knowing how to interpret it.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great one.